John chapter 4, this whole thing is called Hugh. What a strong sign. And we'll go through Jeremiah, then you'll see what I mean about the strong signs. And this whole thing, I guess I'll tell you right off the bat here, the whole thing is about a sign to God's people, what's going on in Jeremiah. Not only is he bashing Babylon, but he's going to take care of his own people. And then there's a point where he says, this is a sign. And my whole comment this morning, if I can make it through here this morning, turn this off. And we see in John chapter 4, verse 48, where Jesus is talking to his people, that kind of a deal. And he says, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And we recognize back in Jeremiah's time, they saw signs and wonders, and they still didn't believe. An interesting one, those are Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We see a place where Paul mentions doing signs and wonders. So we know that Paul, there's transition in Paul's life even, because he no longer did signs and wonders, you know, very, very quickly. Romans chapter 15, verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem around about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So Paul has done both sides. So we know that he was still preaching to the Jews, and when the Jews were involved, he could do signs and wonders, apparently. I mean, that's how we have to look at that. Now, Corinthians, Paul also says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So there were times in his early ministry he had to do both. He had to have the wisdom for the Greeks, and then he had signs and wonders. And we know, I don't remember the verse where it was at or chapter, but we know there are a couple of places where it was mentioned where the Gentiles saw these signs and wonders, and they wised up pretty quick. That was for a lot of his ministry got started. So, signs and wonders are for Jews. Now, just to kind of verify that for the future, Revelation says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. I saw another sign in heaven. Well, what's the tribulation all about? The Jews. So he tries to reach the Jews with signs, or his people with signs. So with that in mind, which I know we know that sort of a thing, let's go to chapter 42 of Jeremiah. And just going to do a lot of reading today. My prep was just wasn't possible. But as I look at these things, I don't think I'm cheating you at all here this morning. I think we need to, there's just an awful lot of stuff we can get out of reading these things. Chapter 42, now he's talking about a remnant here. You know, there's just a few left that are going to be able to wise up to this whole thing that he's going to be there for. And I know it's just everybody has a remnant out there. There's a remnant in the Seventh-day crowd. There's even a group called the Remnants. You know, it's just everybody thinks they're the last ones. But you know, if you realize that this King James Bible is the Word of God, and you realize rightly dividing through Paul, and you can use that rightly dividing, and you realize 1 Corinthians 13:10 proves that that would be the King James Bible, then depending upon how you want to look at that, there isn't much left. I mean, there really isn't much left. Christianity is full of false doctrine. Christianity is full of imitation church, imitation salvation. I truly believe that. The world is a mess. Now, we know the world hasn't gone as much of a mess as it's going to, but we know that that's coming. We see these things more and more. So really, somebody who believes that the King James Bible is that which is perfect, and it has come, so it's complete, there'll be nothing else out of that except out of that Bible, and Paul is the one to follow, and to really narrow it down, let's say that you're going to try to do the stuff in Timothy and Titus. And you're going to honestly try to look at that stuff. You're not just going to try to insert one or two things that you're capable of doing. You're trying to insert it all, which will involve a change in your life, a serious change, or a change in your family. You don't know how you're going to do it, but you know as a father you need to step up and do these sorts of things. Then you really are an extremely small minority. You would agree with that. I mean, not that it should affect your job, but it might. You know, it would affect your friends, your family, your church, depending on where people are going out there in the web world. But you would truly become what I believe, the remnant. Now we know the remnant. He's talking about the Jewish, the few that are left in the Jewish crowd. But in all reality, I believe that we are a form of remnant. And even within our group right here, we can narrow it down. Who in here is really, really digging into what Paul says to do to please God? And again, I don't mean the ones that we can easily do. I mean the ones that we can't do, but we know we should. Do we get to that point where we'll take that one on? And I know some of you do. So we see in chapter 42 some things that are very typical of today, even for us to learn from, where it says they're written for admonition and as an ensample, not an example. And we're basically just going to read. Let's start with chapter 42. And we see in the first six verses something we're all very good at, and that's the foxhole promise. Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee. Now we're going to do a lot of reading, and I know it's hard to hear somebody read, but I'm going to try to do it in a manner that you can still read along, and there's so much in here. Verse 2 again. All these people, great, even the least, even to the greatest. And said unto Jeremiah the prophet, here's what they said, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God, according to your words, and it shall come to pass, that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So they're saying whether it's good or bad, it'll be good for them. But God says back, it will be right. And you know, it would be nice if our kids would think along those lines. Go ahead, if I need to be spanked, spank. If I need to be yelled at, yell at me. If I need to be talked to, talk to me. If I need to just have a nice talk, if you want to just forgive me, get on with it. Either way, I like that, I appreciate that, I thank you, and let's get on with it. And that would be nice. But I think what we tend to see here is we tend to see that we expect more out of our children, like an Old Testament situation. And it didn't work then. But it's just something to be aware of. Because what does he say in verse 7? And it came to pass after 10 days. Now right there I thought of that. 10 days. You know, who can wait? I can't wait for some stuff. I mean, I'm just anxious right now. I can't wait 10 days for a response. And they pray what they pray, and life is going the way it is here. And they ask Jeremiah to talk to God. Jeremiah talks to God. It's 10 days before there's a response. That's a long time. Then it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, if you mind, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you, and not pull you down, and I will plant you, and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you, and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. Now I'm without planning this thing ahead of time. I'm looking at a parental situation there again. How many times do we deal with our children, and then still pull them down? Afterwards, we don't get over it. We just keep reminding them or whatever. And I know sometimes you have to be reminded. I'm not saying that. I'm just asking that you consider what God even says how to deal with this. He even says, "Be not afraid of the king of Babylon." I will take care of you when you grow up a little, but I'll help you be, I'll be your strength. I will be there for you even as you grow up. That's how I would preach that to in a parental application. For I'm with you. And that's how a parent should be. Parents should be with them. And deal with the situations, and when you're done, it says, I will build you. Let's encourage our children. Like, I noticed here, Caitlin, I see that Scott knocked Caitlin red in the right eye the other day. You know, big bruise in the right eye. Well, now just try to be nicer to her next time. That's how the modern Christian would take it, be nicer to her. That's not the point at all. So, place your bets now. There's just a lot there for us to learn from. Parent, maybe we learn a lot from Jeremiah, how to deal with some things. But just remember that this is Old Testament, and God has to do what He has to do here. But if He say, verse 13, but if He say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. There will we dwell. So, I see a couple things there. I see the fact that sometimes our kids want to go where they think it looks best. And it's not. Or, I see today, your friends and family who think your King James thing is just a little bit too much. Or maybe they're okay with your King James thing, but they think you've still gone too far with it. What are they looking for? They're looking for a peace where there's no war, like it says there, with not hear the sound of the trumpet announcing the battle, that type of a thing. Nor hunger of bread. It's going to get hard. We're going to get hard in this church, and our lives are going to get hard if we try to be what we need to be as a Christian. Not the American-designed Christian, but the Paul-designed Christian, which is full of peace and joy. But it's hard. It's hard to have that peace and joy when things are going as stressful as they can go. But we need to. And our friends are going to want to go where there is no war. Because even with Paul, there's war. We're not the one trying to incite the war, but to tell people about it and tell them what Paul has to say and rightly divide that Bible, you get a war. And they don't want that. And people, our little family here could quit because you get tired of war. And we don't need to get tired of war. We just need to get tired of lighting wars. Because it's not our job to light them. They will take the flint and they'll take the spark, and then they're the ones that's got the gas, and that'll light them on fire. Well, anyway, again, we're trying to see some things we can learn from the Old Testament. Now, verse 15. This isn't going to work. It's just there if I need it, right? And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, if that's what you want to do, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine, whereof ye were afraid, shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So if you want to go into that world, the Bible will get you. Someday the Bible, the sword, will still take care of it. So that King James, you cannot run from the King James Bible. You cannot run from God type of thing. So shall it be, we did that one, right? 17? Okay. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil thou wilt bring upon them. That's tribulation. We don't have to worry about that. We've gone to Egypt in various aspects of our life, have we not? That's where it's at. So we don't need to fear what God is telling Jeremiah to tell his people. But still, that's how God operates. And that's the way God is. Okay, verse, where are we at? 18. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. See, we don't have that fear. Why don't we have that fear? Because Christ took that. That's all we can say. The Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. This is where Jeremiah now knows that they knew what they were going to do. He knew what they were going to do. Go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare it unto us, and we will do it. Jeremiah knew then they were lying. Don't you as a parent know when your kids promise I'll do ta-ta-ta-ta-ta? You know they're not going to do that probably. But yet you still tend to go along with their desires. And you know what's going to happen. They're going to crash. You're going to probably have to deal with them and the whole thing. Same thing from a pastoral standpoint. If he's a controlling kind of a snoop, he has to be careful not to look at things that way. I know where some folks are going to head, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I need to get used to it. That's not my call. You know, if a couple gets married and one of them's purpose is to change the other one, it's going to be a miserable marriage. You just don't get married. I'll change the other one, and that'll happen. I will help the other one do this or whatever. That's very dangerous. Scary. For all of us. Verse 21. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. See, what I have to remember is when we do the things that we do and ignore Paul or whatever within our homes or behind closed doors, I thought I'd never say that phrase again because it's so hard. It's not me, and you need to know this. It's not me that you're disobeying. I mean, not even for a second. It's the voice of the Lord your God. Is he trying to tell us something? 22. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. Now we can look into the fact that if we go into the world, our kids grow up and go into the world, they'll fall apart. They may not. They may just do fine. Because the kingdom today is not an earthly kingdom. Chapter 43, just for a little bit here. So, you know, we saw a foxhole promise, a lie, but a foxhole promise, and God's response. So we saw an example there of people going someplace where they thought everything was fine and dandy and peaceful. There's your false peace that will be at the first part of the tribulation. And the people that will be wise to that false peace that's coming will be the King James guys. The Bible will be the dividing Paul people. Because you'll recognize something that's going along peacefully. See, modern Christianity is doing fine. If you notice, I mean, they're really doing fine. Oral Roberts University is in big trouble right now. Have you read that? Their president has been, it's like a Billy, Jimmy Baker thing. Oodles of money being pushed off into his wife's new Lexus. And, you know, just a ton of stuff. You know, they've kind of figured out. So there's major scandal going on there. But that's, you know, whatever. When you realize that Benny Hinn and Rick Warren, all those guys, are doing the same thing, they just haven't been caught yet. Modern Christianity looks like it's doing very well. There's no argument in there. There's nobody bashing doctrine. The music, they enjoy their music. And so there's peace in modern Christianity, more and more. So we see people, when we get closer to the tribulation, we're going to see peace increasing. Isn't that amazing? And it'll come from a president or whoever it is that's vile. That's what the Bible says, and vile is horrible. But see, compared to the world standards, our president right now is vile. No, and to the Bible standard, our president is vile already. But compared to the world, he's not at all. I've been reading more and more stuff, and it is amazing. It may be that he is actually part of that world, the same marriage crowd. There's oodles of stuff coming out on President Bush and the log Republicans or something, and how he is of that nature, physical nature. It's amazing that he might be far more vile than we realize, which is why all this stuff is being put into the government, because he's of them. It's very vile, according to the Bible. But everything seems to be going well. Homosexual. There we go. I said it. Tons of stuff is coming out in the White House. Not Clinton is just nothing. At least he was normally rotten. Not, you know. Yeah, but here's Bush of the guys. And there's even documentation of in the place and the whole deal. So we won't go there. But yet, while everything is just falling apart vilely, everything seems to be going better. The economy, they say, is better. You know, you hear all that kind of stuff. They're talking peace, which what Daniel says they will do too before it's all over. So where is the difficulty going to be? We're losing all the stuff as we get towards the tribulation, but we're the only ones that notice it because of the King James Bible. Rightly divided, that which is perfect is there it is. It's the only way you'll see it. It's the only way you guys will see it as you grow up, you kids. Dana and Danny and Shoney and Sam and Austin, you guys will not see what's going on underneath your nose if you're not got your nose in this thing right here. You will fall for it. I guarantee you'll fall for it. You just will. Because you're going to want to go the easy route, the nice route. You're probably going to want to even go the Christian route. And today's Christian route is horrible, according to the book. Or, like Jeremiah said, you went off into the world. Fill the book down, close it up, be honest about it, get out there, get your career, get your life, get your marriage, and do your stuff, and watch whatever happens, happens. Now, chapter 43, then, we see the typical response. As we get into these things, chapter 43, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. So he's then telling them what God told them. Now see, what's the difference here between me and Jeremiah, other than a million things? God told him what to tell the people. God tells us through the book. And I'm just here to try to help us see what this book says. God said it's in this Bible. And people out there don't realize that. They think that their pastor, their shepherd, whatever, really gets their stuff from God. Because so do they. If we really got stuff from God in our hearts, I would be really having a hard time right now with all this stuff. Saying, man, is God speaking to me or what? You know, some of you don't know that yet, but... Verse 2. Then spake Azariah, good old Azariah, the son of Hoshiah and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. You're wrong. This is not that which is perfect is God. This is not what that is. This is not the king. This is not the final word. This is not what we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus to come back. For you to say that this King James Bible is the word of God, you're just a little too far. You speak falsely. God hasn't told us that. God hasn't told me that. Maybe he told you that, but he hasn't told me that. Verse 3, but Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So, don't you hear this all the time? God didn't say that kind of stuff. This Paulson guy, this Brook, or this guy that may be a Brook someday, you sicked him on us. He's just another guy. What does he know? So, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people, obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. I wonder how many that's a huge crowd of people. I wonder how many that huge crowd of people knew something wasn't right, but they went with them because you're just a follower. Don't be a follower. Don't be a follower of this book. Don't want what everybody else has got and try to do it with your King James Bible. You can't mix it up. So there's tons of stuff in there, but let's go to chapter 44. We're going to keep going here. Chapter 44. And then we'll finish this thing up here at the end here, but verse 44. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and at Tophanes and at Noph and in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. They're doing their own thing. For, howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. I sent you guys prophets, right? What would he say to us? Well, I gave you the Bible. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn incense unto other gods. And remember these other gods, it says that they did not know. Remember that one. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain. In that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whether ye be going down to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth? Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and their own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes, that I set before you and before your fathers. That's just, boy, talk about a chewing out. And I just have to say, from here on, we up to this point, we're there. We're there. And somewhere along the line, we have rejected something God has told us and taught us. And we know that. But see, we don't have to go to verse 11. Christ on the cross is what took all this. Right? I mean, it isn't just that when Jesus died and rose again, and it isn't just that I'm saved now. I mean, Christ had to step up to the plate, which is even God himself, in the flesh, had to take that payment himself. Our kids have got to learn that. That a price was paid. A price was paid. Now, back in Jeremiah's time, they're going to pay the price. Verse 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all Judah. See, God is not going to set his face against us. I don't believe it for a second. Because he has paid what had to be paid for. We may set our face against him, but as soon as you turn your face back, he's right there. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an excrement, excretion, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. See, and this is where a lot of Bible-believing fathers, this is how they treat their children. This is how they react. Okay, if you're going to do this, I'm just going to lay my wrath upon you, and you're never going to hardly bounce back at all. And I think that we have seen that that's wrong. There needs to be discipline and et cetera, et cetera. But I see too many fathers and too many husbands that treat their wives this way. And this is something I'm starting to be bothered by. I don't know if I could ever preach it because it would go against certain camps and people I know and the whole thing. But I'm really opening my eyes to child abuse and wife abuse and mental abuse and fathers towards their daughters and sons abuse mentally or spiritually. I see that we've all been brought up in this concept right here. We have been. And it's really hard for us. We can't even handle Paul. We don't know how to discipline in so many ways because we don't want to just let him get away with it. But as our kids get older, they need to be trusted. They need to be, I mean, you can just go into that whole thing. I mean, how do you deal with it? We don't even know how to deal with it. We are so Old Testament gospel oriented And when we read stuff like this, you lean over and you say to your kids, see what God will do to you? Or you say, this is what I'll do to you. And then you treat them like dirt. And you yell at them. And you mosh on them. And it's just, you just drive your kids down. And I see it. I just see it and I see it. And I see it the way some husbands treat their wives is the same way. I see some wives treat their husbands that way. This is what we're living in today. Paul is really radical. Paul is really radical today to try to get a hold of Paul. We can hardly do it. Really hard. Where are we at, Jimmy?
14.
So that none of the remnant of Judah, who which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return, but such as shall escape. That all the men which knew that their wives... Now, this is interesting in here. That all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, and Pathros answered Jeremiah, saying... Isn't that interesting how he includes? He specifically mentions these things in here. And he says, well, they answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of victuals and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things. Isn't that good? Since they've done this, you mentioned this, since they've done this thing that they're doing here, going against Jeremiah, we wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Oh, without our men, that tells me who the spokesman here is. We got a lady talking here. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the... Can you picture this going on? You've got to picture this stuff. Us that are the baby boomer crowd, the TV crowd. I still picture this stuff taking place here. That's one of the nice things about teaching your kids to read and then reading to them. It helps them picture what you're reading. And if they have to see something all the time, they'll never be able to picture words. It will always have to be pictured with a picture. The incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye, your fathers, your kings, and your princes, and all the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And came it not into his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear, because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment, and a curse without an inhabitant, as at this day. And here's another thought. Beginning of that verse, so the Lord could no longer bear. How long has he put up with us? Well, why? Well, he paid for it. So he can put up with everything all the time. He could bear it to the very end because he paid. This whole thing boils down to the fact of what Christ did for us. Totally. 23? Because ye have burned incense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you, as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people, and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths, and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows, and surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. What do some of our kids do, or some of our young adults or church people, what's one of the things they don't talk about anymore? And that's this Bible. How many people have left this church and gone on to whatever they've gone on to and don't talk about the King James Bible being the Word of God? They will not say, God said. Not all of them have gone that route, but some of them have. So there's so much identicality in here. Identicality. That's, you know, it works. 27, I think. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape, there's that remnant, see. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt shall, land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. So there are still people today that if things are going to get really rough, they will still know that this book is the Word of God, King James Bible. And I hope that you can keep that remnant. I hope you can keep your children in that thought, and however you can do this. And then here's my whole point of the title here this morning. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. That's just powerful stuff. If you just read it slowly and carefully, and it's easy to miss because when we read Old Testament things, haven't you noticed you get kind of bogged down with names and cities and areas and people and all that stuff? Before you know it, you've missed a marvelous verse in there. It helps you picture what's going on and what went on. There's a lot of people that still don't believe when I tell them that God is not in the punishment business today.